Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. At 8 a.m. Eastern Time, June 1st, 2009, General Motors filed for Chapter 11 reorganization. That filing in federal bankruptcy court in Manhattan was the start of a painful and historic journey for General Motors. 5 years later, following a massive government equity investment, General Motors is doing well, although it has been rocked recently by the ignition recall switch controversy and a blizzard of other recalls. More on that in a moment. But first, let's take stock of what GM's done in these past 5 years and ask the question, was the prevention of job and income losses worth the cost to taxpayers? Sonari Glinton is NPR's business reporter. Hello, Sonari.
Hello.
And Michigan Radio's auto reporter, Tracy Samilton. Always good to have you on, Tracy.
Good afternoon.
Well, all government-held shares in GM and Chrysler, we should add, are now sold, and U.S. taxpayers booked an almost $12 billion loss. So the obvious question, was it worth it, Sonari?
I don't think I'm qualified to say whether or not it's worth it, but if you think about the large sort of net that it was a part of as a part of TARP, the entire TARP investment has made money. And there's still people who are annoyed about the amount of money that the government spent to bail out banks as well as to bail out General Motors and Chrysler as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, politically, it did well for the president. But there's still some people who think that this might not have been the right place to go.
There are those people, but the consensus is they're wrong. There's a wide consensus even among economists who normally are hands off the market. I was unable to find any but one economist during the time of the bankruptcy who said we should just let the company go. So most economists said we don't want the government meddling with things unless it's a matter of a company this size going down, essentially possibly taking the entire U.S. economy with it, certainly taking the auto industry down with it for an extended period of time. So, yeah, there are people who are always going to resent that, but people who understand what it probably would have done all say this was a bargain. The amount of money we lost on this on this bankruptcy was nothing compared to what the cost would have been had we not done it.
And I think it's been well established, the fact that here you had the nation in the worst economic slump since the Great Depression and car sales were in a complete free fall. There really was no other option, was there, besides letting it die?
There were no sources of financing for the bankruptcy. The banks had shut down on lending. Certainly they didn't have the amount of money that GM needed, which was about $50 billion.
I'm not a bankruptcy lawyer, but there are other ways that bankruptcy could have gone. And that is sort of, if you use, you know, what Mitt Romney would have said, a different sort of structured bankruptcy. People in the auto industry look at it and say, yes, this saved General Motors. It's doing well. It's doing better. But I think that it created this tremendous ill will for not only the government, the president. I mean, you can say that the Tea Party in part was because of one of these bailouts, that people were so angry at how much money these too big to fail is a thing that people don't really like. And especially when it's a company like General Motors, that's a part of what was going on. And to deny that, you know, a lot of the political retribution that came behind TARP, all of it, the whole kit and caboodle of it, is to deny something that people across the country, including in Michigan as well, sort of are more than annoyed with, you know, in terms of how our government is involved in our economy.
That is true. GM was definitely a political football during the last presidential campaign, and it was not pleasant for them at all to be in that position. And they didn't have a good image before the bankruptcy, and certainly being bailed out by the government just made that worse.
If you just joined us, I'm speaking with Michigan Radio's auto reporter Tracy Samilton and NPR's business reporter Sonari Glinton as we look back at the five-year anniversary coming up on June 1st of General Motors filing for Chapter 11. All right. What has GM done right in these past 5 years? Sonari, go.
They make better cars. I think that's the one real thing. If you'd asked me 15 years ago or 10 years ago, hey, what car am I going to buy? You know, I would have this was before I was an auto reporter, but I would say, you know, you want to buy a this or that. But a General Motors car probably wouldn't have gotten on my list unless you're talking about a giant SUV. And now you have to consider a General Motors vehicle for a good number of the categories. Large sedan, definitely. Luxury car, definitely. Those are places where I don't necessarily think you would have thought of. And so when you look at the exciting offerings, which is what really this is about, that's where General Motors is doing well, is that when you're excited to hear about a new GM vehicle, because since the ghosts of bankruptcy have sort of gone away, mm-hmm. when the new products have come out, they've been pretty exciting. And that's the most surprising thing, I think, about the entire story, is that General Motors makes good cars and that they keep making more exciting ones. And that's kind of an amazing story to me.
They're getting recognized for it also. Consumer Reports chose the Impala as the best sedan last year. The best. Better than anything.
Not the best American.
Yeah.
That's right.
The best.
You know, it's something to be proud of. And they have some... they're moving into Volkswagen's territory now with a diesel version of the Cruze. So they have ambitions, and I've driven the diesel Cruze, and it's a very fine vehicle. They really are making better cars.
And how have things changed inside?
Mm.
That corporate climate, has that bankruptcy wrought changes that were needed, Tracy?
Well, I think they have a lot more work to do there. I think you see some good signs. They have taken their customer service center and insourced it now. They used to shop that out. Now that's their baby. They have GM people overseeing the folks who are answering the phones and trying to keep the customer satisfied. They have a new focus on pleasing the customer. It's not just GM, you will buy our cars. You know, they recognize that they're in competition here and they have to convince you. And, you know, they have insourced their IT. But Mary Barra, just in her last town hall meeting with employees, said, you know, we still have this culture of fear where people are afraid to bring bad news to their boss, and we can't have that. And so she's still dealing with this problem that has been something GM's dealt with for, you know, a couple of decades. So they have some work to do.
Sonari?
You know what I think is interesting is that General Motors seems to have solved a lot of the problems for a company in 1998. But what is really sort of concerning to me is that the auto industry as a whole isn't – it's not that it's General Motors has to compete against Ford. It has to compete against everything else. Mm. It has to compete against Apple. It has to compete against – for not just for, you know, your care of, you know, getting you to want to buy a vehicle that is, you know, half a year's salary, but just your attention, and for the best people, the thinkers who are coming into the industry. I mean, I feel like General Motors, and this is my feeling about the auto industry in general, that it's still stodgy. It's still with a female head, it's still really male oriented, where the customers are overwhelmingly women. There are a lot of these problems that are 2015, 2025 problems that I feel like General Motors hasn't gotten around to like looking at. But that said, I don't think that the entire auto industry has gotten around to looking at the 2025 problems. And so it's a better company than it was 5 years ago. But is it the company that it needs to be? I really don't think so.
I would say, Sonari, that to me, that is also a problem. It's a problem facing GM for sure, but I think it's also facing Ford and Chrysler, where there's this concept that car companies are not high tech, and I'm going to go to where, you know, I'm going to have exciting projects.
Where the cool things are happening.
Yeah, where the cool things are, and where the main city in the state is not in mm-hmm. bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. And so it is a problem for General Motors, and now because of the recalls, of course, they really have their work cut out for them.
And let's circle back to, Tracy, that comment about the climate of fear, that idea of shooting the messenger. And from that, don't we dovetail right into this ignition switch disaster? Could this derail the momentum that we've seen build over 5 years?
I think it will. I think
it will.
It, yeah,
not could.
I think it will. We are getting word that May auto sales for General Motors, as opposed to the rest of the industry, will only be up by a few percentage points. It's going to be the best month since 2007 for most other U.S. automakers. So I think these recalls are finally trickling into the consciousness of people who are, do I go to Ford? Do I go to Chrysler or do I go to GM? Do I go to Toyota? They're crossing, you know, those people who are not GM, you know, loyalists are going to be crossing GM off their list. So, and I think we are seeing some signs that that is going to happen. And another thing that's going to happen with GM is the cost of these recalls. They have recalled more than 13 million cars worldwide. It's going to eat up their profits this year. And unless they pour everything they can into product development, they're going to have trouble keeping up that momentum with the great vehicles that Sonari mentioned. They are developing them. They have to keep it up. They can't stop spending money on their next products.
I have to say that I don't necessarily see the – I mean, 1 month's auto sales, even though the summer autos are the most important time for selling. I think when you think about how much damage gets done to a brand because of a recall, even with the disastrous Toyota recall, Toyota still it rebounded. It had some troubles because of some other things as well. You know, an earthquake and tsunami came, you know, on the heels of that recall. However, I think that General Motors is handling it a lot differently than the last two recalls. And what people notice when they hear about recalls is, how are you responding? Are you taking responsibility? Are you blaming the customer for a problem? And I haven't necessarily seen signs that General Motors is doing those things. And, you know, a lot of this bad information, I mean, for those of us who live in the recall world, it seems like, oh, my God, every time there's some bad news. But to the guy on the street, as long as it's compressed and as long as this doesn't play out for years or months and months and the bad news. And I think that the worst of the news sort of happened a month or so ago or 2 months ago. We see surveys that show that people won't punish a brand just because they have a recall. The problem, I think, is the longer it plays out, if it plays out into the summer, if it goes into the winter, if there isn't a quick resolution of this, then it could be a problem. But I don't see this being in the headlines by December. I think that there is a real desire at General Motors to get this done, get it over with, and move forward. And I think if it does that in a truncated amount of time, I think that it can. And I don't think that it will be sort of this lasting scar for the company. I mean, Ford had one of the worst recalls in history. Toyota had one of the worst recalls in history. And both of those companies rebounded and learned some good lessons. And the auto industry learned some great lessons from it as well.
And knowing that this recovery is a work in progress, so separate from the ignition switch and the recall issue, what do you see as some of the challenges GM faces? Let's talk about profit margins in North America. Has GM weaned itself off that addiction to discounts and incentives, Tracy?
Yes. Yes.
It needed to do that.
They had 1 month last year where everyone was like, oh, they're going back to their battled ways.
I remember
when
that.
It seemed like their incentives were going up. But they have been tremendously disciplined about this. We haven't seen any signs that they are leading the pack. They're kind of in the middle in terms of the incentives. And they are, for the first time ever, willing to let market share go to protect profitability. And that's where they have to be. And they understand that. So, yeah, and their market share is going to go down this month. But that does not mean they're going to, I see no signs they're going to just say, oh, we have to get that market share back. Let's have some sales.
Last thought, Sonari, what has America and American business learned from GM's bankruptcy?
It's such a unique story that I don't know if there are things you can glean. I don't think a bailout like this happens in our lifetime again. I don't think that that there is the political will to do this again. I mean, this is a one-off. This people, you know, when I was driving through Ohio and Indiana and Iowa, people really for the campaign, you really got the sense that there's not a lot of people are happy that General Motors is doing well, but there's not a lot of political will to do this again. I can't imagine another company coming back to the government and asking for something like this. That said, what is interesting about, I've always thought about the auto industry, is there's this funny idea that we have about American products, and it's still sort of prescient in our time, which is that we somehow have sort of thought that maybe they're not so good. And I find that sort of hilarious to me, to think that Americans can't make a product as good as anyone else. And I think that as people, especially here on the West Coast where I'm at, as people are, you know, you ask someone like, oh, you got that Impala or you have that Chevy Volt or whatever it is, what do you think of it? And they're like, I was just so surprised. And what's funny to me is, like, you're surprised that Americans can make a good product. Mm-hmm. I think that the American auto industry so soured people on their products that there's so much room for surprise about, you know, the great things about what American technology and innovation can do. And these companies, all three of them, have, I think, a long way to go in terms of the future and how they sort of reconnect to America, but also how they redefine our future. But I think that really this is a unique story, and I don't think that this is not something we're going to see again.
I would agree with Sonari, and I would agree with Sonari mainly because I think the car companies aren't going to let this happen again. When you face death, which GM and Chrysler and frankly Ford did, because if those two companies had gone down, the auto supply sector upon which Ford relied would have gone down. We came perilously close to losing our entire American auto industry. And so I do not believe any of these companies, especially GM, is going to lose sight of the fact they have to make money. They have to be profitable. They have to be efficient. And they have to make really great products that are just as good or better, preferably better, than the competitors.
Michigan Radio's auto reporter Tracy Samilton and business reporter Sonari Glinton joining us from NPR West in Los Angeles. Thanks so much to both of you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.